All right. Well, God is good. Amen. Amen. He is awesome. And what an awesome day. And it is just so nice to be in the double digits. Is it not? It feels so good to be in the double digits. I'm not wearing long johns. I'm not where Ryan is yet, but maybe someday. Someday I'll be there. Someday I'll sweat when it's 40 degrees. Maybe. I need that Ryan Vince Bill anointing. So, anyway, hey, this morning, glad that you guys are here. Real quick, let's put up our mission statement. This is what we're all about. Can we say it together? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. God is awesome, isn't He? Yes, and He's given us an awesome mission and a vision to love Jesus and love others and to serve others and to grow. Because listen, we got to be people of growth, right? Oh, come on, you guys. Don't be a bunch of wieners. Growth. Growth. It's about growing, okay? And today is Vision Sunday, and we're talking about where we believe God wants to take us in this new year. God wants to take us as a church. Churches are our organizations, our organisms of purpose, of growth, of mission. And God doesn't just save us all from our sins. He doesn't just save us from something, but He saves us for something. And as His body, as His church, we're moving forward. We're doing what He's called us to do. Vision is one of the most powerful forces on the planet. Vision is a powerful thing. You find somebody with a vision, with a passion, with a mission, that's a dangerous person, right? And that could be good or bad, depending on their mission or vision. But vision is one of the most powerful forces on the planet. Our country was born because people had a vision for a free republic, right? That's why our country was born. There was no America before that. If you have a job, which most of us here have a job, it's because someone had a vision to start a company that you work for. Somebody had that vision. I'm going to start this company. I'm going to build this product. I'm going to build this company. And somebody had that vision, and that's why a lot of us have jobs today, right? And before your favorite song was ever written, before your favorite movie was ever produced, someone had a vision for it. Somebody had a vision to write that song. Someone had a vision to make that movie. Somebody had a vision to write that book. And our church is here because we had a vision to start a Vineyard church on the Illinois side of the Quad Cities. And really, that wasn't even just my vision or Wendy's vision. That goes back to Pat's vision. Who used to pastor, actually, he's not the lead pastor anymore over at Vineyard Davenport. Troy is, but Pat is the associate pastor over there now, leading small groups. But he had a vision for a vineyard on the Illinois side. And so our church is here because of a vision. Does anybody here have an iPhone? Who has an iPhone? Wow, a lot of people have iPhones. Okay, or an iPad, or a Mac, okay. It's really crazy, like the vision for that company. It's because these two guys named Steve and Steve had a vision to start Apple Computers. I'm going to read the story to you. This is really cool. It says, Steve Jobs was just 21 when he and Steve Wozniak invented the Apple Computer. Until then, computers were a monstrous mass of vacuum tubes which took whole rooms. Then the two Steves managed to take that mass of tubes and incorporate them inside a box small enough to sit on a desk. I remember we had one at our school, in our grade school, and it was like Oregon Trail. Yeah, playing Oregon Trail. It was all the things you could do. You could type in, type Lee 1, number 2, go to 1, and it would make my name go across the screen. That was the only programming that I knew, but it was amazing. Look at my name on the screen. It was so cool. But they took all this mess and they fit it into a box that sat on a desk. And Jobs and Wozniak offered their invention to Atari, but Atari rejected it. Look where Atari is today. Look where Apple is. Wow, can you believe that? Okay, they took it to Atari. Atari rejected it. They offered it to Hewlett-Packard, but Hewlett-Packard rejected them. Wow, they got to be kicking themselves now. It seemed that only Jobs and Wozniak alone could see the possibilities. So Jobs sold his Volkswagen And Wozniak sold his calculator, and the $1,300 from that, they formed Apple Computers. The company was named Apple in memory of a happy summer summer that Jobs spent working at an orchard. Steve Jobs was a visionary, and spurred on by that vision, he built a successful computer company. But Jobs soon discovered that if his vision was to reach fruition, they needed greater management expertise. So Jobs approached John Sculley, then president of PepsiCo. Okay? There was absolutely no reason why Sculley should leave a highly paid position in a world-leading company to go to work with a bunch of computer nerds in a fledgling industry. Not surprisingly, he turned Jobs down. But Jobs wouldn't take no for an answer. He approached Sculley again. Again, Sculley turned it down. In the last-ditch effort, Jobs passionately presented his visionary ideas to Sculley, and he asked Sculley a question that forced him to accept. The question was this: do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want to change the world? Indeed, Jobs and Sculley did change the world. Jesus comes to us with the same question, right? Jesus approaches us with the same question. Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want to change the world? Most of us spend our lives making sugared water. We go to work to accumulate more possessions and perhaps finding space for God in our spare time. But Jesus had a vision to change the world. His was the vision of the kingdom of God, and he calls us to place it at the center of our lives and to make it our reason for existence. This morning, I just want our vision to be clear. You know, we didn't start Mercy Vineyard to start another church. And we didn't start Mercy Vineyard just because, you know, we wanted a place that was convenient to go to, or because we wanted a place with good coffee. Because, you know, it's not that great of coffee. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. I'm just kidding. Lori's awesome. So, you know, but, you know, we are here to live a passionate mission to love, grow, and go. And when we say that, when we put this up here every week, we're living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. It's not just a cliche. It's not just a tagline. It's our compass to guide us as a church, and it's a standard to live by. So how is that going to get fleshed out this year? How do we walk that out? I want to talk about that today. Let's pray real quick. God, we love you so much. We thank you that you are in the business of using us to change the world. You are in the business, God, of changing lives and transforming communities. Lord, we, as people of your kingdom, as kingdom people, God, we want to proclaim that and proclaim that kingdom, Lord, because you are God of everything, everywhere, and we want to become a reality in everyone's hearts, God, and in our neighbors' hearts, and in our coworkers' hearts, and all of that. So, God, we pray that your word would come alive and be transformational to us today in Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to take a look at Titus chapter 3. Now, we read from that a few weeks ago. You guys remember during our Crazy Makers series, we talked about Titus chapter 3, okay? And but verses 4 through 8 are really particularly relevant to us today. It says, "But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love," everybody say kindness and love. Yes. "He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his," yeah, "because of his mercy," right? Okay. "And he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, we are made right in his sight, and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone." Okay? If you remember one thing this morning about mercy, about our vision, about what we're all about, it's this. It's just that love is and always will be the driving force of our church. It's love, right? And before, you know, and not just any love, but Jesus' love, Christ's love, God loving through us, God loving us, and God loving through us. And it's his love through us as we love others because he loves us. It's this amazing, like, it's just amazing, right? It's his love pouring down on us and pouring through us. And that love is our motivation, and it's our driving force. Verse 4 tells us that our Savior saved us when he revealed his kindness and his love, his kindness and love. It's so important that a church operate out of kindness and love. You know what I saw? The other day, a poster had been put up that a particular Baptist church, I won't say which one, Westboro, is actually now they're doing a protest in Canada outside of the Finnish consulate because they believe all Finlanders are hated by God now and going to hell. Now it's Finland. Now it's entire countries, you know. And so their whole motivation of hate, you know, of condemnation, oh my goodness. And you know, nobody encounters God through that. Nobody experiences our Savior through that sort of thing. But God motivates us out of kindness and love. We get presented with ideas for programs all the time. You know, if you ever want people to just bring ideas to you all the time, become a pastor. And sometimes I love them. Sometimes they're just amazing ideas, and we're like, yes, we got to work on that, or I need to mull on that. Whatever. But sometimes we just get programs that are like, why? You know, why? And because they're not motivated out of a love for our community, they're not motivated out of kindness. And so when we're presented with ideas like that, if they don't reflect the love of Jesus, we just reject them immediately. Like, no, that doesn't reflect the love of Jesus. That's not loving. That's not, you know, I'm not going to preach about that. That's not loving. You know, people bring you preaching ideas too. Because listen, we're not going to be a church that boycotts. We're not going to be a church that protests. If you're looking for something like that, you're not going to find it here. We're not going to be a church that judges. We're not going to be a church that condemns. And you know what? I'm part Finnish. So I take exception to that. My grandmother immigrated here from Finland. So, you know, but we're not going to be that kind of church. We love because Jesus loves, and we do our best to love like he does. Amen? Amen. That's what people do. We got to be people that love like he does. Okay? Jesus healed the sick. Y'all remember reading that in the Gospels? Right? Jesus healed the sick. He cared for the poor. Right? He led people from where they were to where God wanted them to be. He delivered the spiritually oppressed. And yes, you know, he confronted hypocrisy, right? But Jesus was motivated by love. Nobody loved like Jesus loves. And so we're going to let love always be the driving force of our church. In 2018, that's not changing. And so the next thing is we're going to do, and we talked about this. We brought this actually up a couple of years ago, and I feel like God continues to kind of like impress this on me, is that we're going to continue to pursue newness. God's mercies are new every morning. God is just like new every day. You know what? I've been following Jesus for 32 years now. 32 years I've been following Jesus. And I have yet to get bored with him. I have yet to cease encountering him and experiencing him in new ways. I've read through the Bible. Is that me? Oh, I have the same ringer. I thought that was me. So, okay, you know, I've literally what did I say? 32 years? For 32 years, I have read through the Bible, turned it over, read through it again, turned it, till I've lost count. I don't even know how many times I've read through the Bible and have gone back and turned around and read over. And guess what? Every time I read it, something new. Every time I read it, I'm like, wow, I didn't notice it before. Or wow, I really needed to be reminded of that. Not once have I gone, I've already read it a bunch of times. You know, give me something different. He's just something miraculous and supernatural about the Word of God that just, it's new every time, every time, every time. And so we're going to continue to pursue newness. God's offer to us and God's offer to our community is new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Our neighborhood, our city, our community needs new life. I mean, just walk across the street right there. These people need new life. Take a left. Look at these people here. They need new life. Just kidding. I love you guys. And, you know, because I'm looking this way. We got the store in this way. It's your house. So, anyway. But we need new life. Our neighborhood needs new life. Our families need new life. Our workplaces need new life. Okay? And that's God's offer. He wants us to experience His new life, His everlasting life, His life eternal, His life abundant. Okay? And we're going to continue to pursue newness and bring newness to our community. We are God's agents for change. We are bringing healing. We're bringing hope. We're bringing newness. We do this through acts of kindness, through our witness, through the work of the Holy Spirit through us. Jesus is making all things new. Isn't that what Jesus said? Behold, I'm making all things new. Jesus is making all things new. He wants to do it through us, okay? And so that leads us to the next thing here. We're devoted to doing good as a church. We're going to continue to be a church that's devoted to doing good. We're going to support Lori and her things in Haiti. We're going to continue to do Royal Family Kids Camp. We're going to be devoted to doing good. And you know, a lot of times, it's so tempting, even in our own lives, right? Sometimes when we're going through rough patches, we're going through things that, I don't know, we don't have much money, or I had to just get this fixed, or I'm just having a rough patch. A lot of times, the last thing we want to do is do good for others. You know what I'm saying? Most of the times, when things aren't going good for us, we just want everybody to get out of our face, okay? And we want, and then we go on, Facebook and ask anybody if there's anything binge-worthy on Netflix, right? Because we just want to sweatpan it, and we want to isolate ourselves when things aren't going good. And you know what? One of the most amazing things that God has built into us is that when we are not doing good, when we do good for others, all of a sudden, boom. You ever notice that it's so good for you? It's so therapeutic? You know, I noticed today that when I come to worship God, if I come into, let's say, here, right? Sunday morning. And I've had a rough morning or a rough weekend or whatever, I don't know, you know. And I just really want God to bless me. When I come to worship and I say, God, I just really want you to bless me now during this worship time. A lot of times, it just really doesn't do anything for me. And we have this like incredibly contradictory God. He is just full of incredible, amazing, supernatural contradictions. In other words, when I come here and I'm in need and I forget about myself and I forget about my needs and I worship God, somehow those emotional needs are met. Has anybody ever experienced that before? Like you just come in and you're like, you're not even thinking about yourself. You come in bummed out about something or another, but you're not even thinking about yourself. You're just proclaiming how awesome God is. And all of a sudden it's like before you know it, well, that's weird. I feel better, right? God blesses us. And you know, that works the same way in our lives when it comes to bringing newness to others. Right? There's just something about when we bring newness to others, when we bless others sacrificially, when we ourselves are in need, when we ourselves are bummed out or down or about something, whatever, and we bless others, somehow that crazy God economy kicks in and we get blessed. All right? And so we're going to continue to do good. We're devoted to doing good. Okay? And doing good should never be limited to just a church activity. All right, doing good should never be limited to just community on a mission day or an idea. It's something that each one of us should be devoted to doing as God's body. Because, you know, a lot of times, don't we say, hey, the church should do something about that? Has anybody ever said that? I have. The church should do something about that. And you know what? Guess what? Look in the mirror, because you're the church. You are the church. You're the church. Okay? I'm the church. You're the church. He's the church. She's the church. Wouldn't you like to be the church too? You know, we're the church. We're the church. And so doing good shouldn't just be a church activity. And we should be devoted to doing good. Why? Because love. Because we love like Jesus. Okay? Like Jesus loves. And love is our driving force. And when I and you are devoted to doing good things, we can finally move from that place of, hey, they should do something about that too. I should do something about that. We see a need. I should do something about that. We are the church, all right? We are God's agents of change. And so let love drive you to bring newness to others and to your neighbors. So what are some ways that we as a church are going to live that out, though, this year? Well, the first thing is in the fall, which I know that's like, it sounds like it's a long way away, but the fall is going to smack us in the back of the head before we know it, right? That's just how the way time works. And the older you get, the faster it moves. You know, it's frightening. It was just, I just turned 40. Just turned 40. Right? I turned 47 a week ago, but it feels like I just turned 40. Right? That's just the way time goes. Bam, bam, bam. Fall is going to be here. And in the fall, we're launching a mentoring club for our Royal Family Kids campers. right? It's a mentoring club for the campus. Is that on there? Yeah. It's a mentoring club, which is super cool. Okay, this is super awesome. Instead of just 5 days every summer, we get to show the love of Jesus to abused and neglected foster kids every month. Every month. I'm so stoked about that. Ryan's going to be there with a holster full of Band-Aids. He's going to be pushing ibuprofen on him. Oh, it's amazing. You should see him at camp. That's how he works. He's like a medical Rambo. So it's like somebody skins his knees and Ryan does a forward roll into it. You know, so it's really cool. It's just like he's got like a squirt gun full of antibiotic ointment. So it's pretty awesome. One time, all of a sudden, I saw this golf cart driving past me, and I got hit in the head, and it was like antibiotic ointment, and it was Ryan just drive-by medical. So, and sorry, Ryan, Andy's not here. And well, I'm so excited about that because campers are going to get to experience a safe, loving environment, and our campers finally get one-on-one mentoring. We have never been able to do that. We have at camp, you can't even walk really one-on-one without somebody being within eyeshot, you know, of seeing you because of for safety measures. We get to do one-on-one mentoring. It's going to be awesome. And so listen, for that, pray about volunteering for that. Pray about volunteering for that. I mean, this is an opportunity to mentor a kid who otherwise would not have a chance, would not have a positive role model in their life consistently. Do you know that I had a conversation with somebody who's incredibly knowledgeable about these things, and I said, could you explain something to me? We all know people who just never seem to be able to lift themselves out of where they are in life, right? I mean, we all know people who are just like, wow, I've known you for years, and you've gone through 10 jobs and 5 relationships, and you just can't seem to learn. Y'all know people like that? Anybody okay? And they just always struggling financially. They're just always kind of just making dumb decisions and whatever. And I was talking to this person, and I said, I was just frustrated because I had some people like that in my life at that time. And I said, what does it take to get somebody from that place to a place of growth and maturity and, you know, responsibility and all that? And he said, well, all of the research that I've read, the only way to get somebody to grow from that place is to just walk side by side with them consistently. That's the only way. There's no program. There's no teaching. You can sit and bring them to a seminar. They're not going to change. The only way they're going to grow is if you walk side by side with them. And we have this opportunity for these kids. Because as they grow, I mean, they are headed towards that place. They're headed towards cyclical welfare. They're headed towards abuse. They're headed towards substance abuse. And we have this incredible opportunity to go, I'll walk with you side by side. I'll walk with you. I'll mentor you. I'll teach you. I will speak into your life, and then by the time you're my age, I'm going to wish I was that good. And so, you know, and so we have that opportunity. So just pray about how you can get involved with that. And you can also give financially. And so we get to bring newness into the lives of these kids. The next thing that we're going to do, something different, something difficult this year, is we're going to lean into difficult things. This is going to be a hard year, but in a good way, right? We're going to lean into some difficult things. Growing as Christians, growing as human beings, it requires us to do things that we're just not comfortable with, right? There's just certain things we're not comfortable with, okay? There's certain things we're not comfortable talking about in church. There's certain things we're just not comfortable addressing, and it's just kind of strange. But, you know, growth does not happen lounging in our comfort zone. If you want to grow, you got to get out of your comfort zone, right? Oh, come on. Growth does not happen in your comfort zone. It doesn't. You know what happens in your comfort zone? Comfort. Usually in our comfort zone is how we get sort of relaxed or lazy or, you know, if you're like me, you put on a few pounds over the holidays. That was my comfort. I spent 2 weeks in my comfort zone. My sweatpants, right? And I put on a few pounds. But growth happens when we get out of our comfort zone. And we have to be willing to stretch ourselves. We have to be willing to lean on God's grace to shape us and to make us stronger. In February, we're launching a five-part series here called Hard Conversations. And we're going to talk about those topics that tend to make people feel uncomfortable. So you go, yeah, oh, man, my God. Is he talking about racism? What? Is he talking about homosexuality? Oh, don't make me feel uncomfortable. Listen, we got to talk about these things, all right? Because the kingdom of God is diverse, and the kingdom of God requires us to grow. We need to think about those things and talk about those things. And so I'm pretty uncomfortably excited about that. So what we're going to do is next month we're going to start what was just called Uncomfortable Conversations Group. All right? So we're going to get together on Wednesday nights, and we're going to talk for an hour for 12 weeks about questions that most Christians just hope no one will ever ask them. Do you know what questions I'm talking about? You ever get asked a question, you're like, I wish nobody would have asked me that. Right. And so the format is simple. The format is simple. We're going to take a bucket, and we're going to pass it around, and you can anonymously drop any question you want in the bucket. And we will draw one question at a time, and we'll talk about them. And we're going to have some very uncomfortable conversations, and I'm very excited. I'm sure Dan's very excited about that. I'm going to tell him he cannot podcast those conversations. And so we're going to have uncomfortable conversations. It's starting in February. I'll put a little thing up in the bathroom. Everybody uses the bathroom, so you all know when it is. And I'm just going to continue to challenge you to live out your faith in new ways, to live out your faith in boldness, and live out your faith in surrender, and live out your faith in risk-taking, right? Faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? It's spelled risk. And we, as people of God, need to be the biggest risk-takers there are. And we can't change the world if we just avoid things that are bringing confusion or bringing pain into people's lives. And so we're going to move into some uncomfortable directions, but I think you're going to love it. So, and the last thing is we give our best to serve each other in our community. You know, why are we always kind of going, hey, let's serve here, let's serve here, let's serve each other, let's serve each other? It's because that's how we demonstrate the love of God to each other. And when we serve each other and when we love each other, those outside the church see Christ's love in us, right? That's how those outside the church see Christ's love, is us serving each other and, of course, serving them. And so if love, like Jesus loves, is truly our driving force, if we really desire newness in our city, if we really are devoted to doing good, then serving each other should just come easily, and blessing our community should just come natural for us. Just part of our lives, right? Naturally supernatural. And so we love our neighborhood, we love our city, and we believe that when we serve, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Right? So when Lori makes you a pot of delicious coffee, the best coffee of any church in town, I'm just trying to make up for what I said earlier, that's loving though. She's loving you with the love of Christ. And when we serve each other, we love. All right? And so if we want to see our city changed at Mercy Vineyard, we want to see the addicted be set free, we want to see homes and marriages restored, we want to see the sick healed and the hopeless find hope. And that happens through loving and growing and going. It's not an easy vision, right? But it's God's heart. I don't know, sometimes I wish that God would call us to easy things. Don't you? I am calling you to watch every episode of MASH. Done. You can go home now. The rapture, you know. I am calling you to do something easy. You know, I'm calling you to sweep off your front porch every day, whatever. You know, but God's heart, God calls us to do difficult things as a church. God calls us, he pushes us out of our comfort zone. And that's how we grow, and that's how we see the kingdom of God spread. It's when we give, when it's not comfortable, when it's not convenient, when we can't afford to. It's when we serve, when we're bummed out. It's when we love our neighbor, when you know that they're letting their dog poop in your yard. You know, it's when God calls us to do the hard things. Okay, and so I just want you to be praying about how God can partner, how you can partner with God this year. And be a change agent to the world, because he's big, right? He is awesome. And it's such an honor and a joy to have an amazing church family to serve him with. Can I just say this? Just completely off script, you guys. I have to tell you just how much I really, 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 really love this church. I have to tell you, honestly, we have a higher percent of people serving in our church than much, much higher. Like if the national average is here, we're like way up here. I love, 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 love this church. I love you guys so much, and I pray for you. And so my desire as your pastor is that 2018 would be a year where you're able to look back and go, wow, I have grown so much. I have grown so much in my love for others. I have grown so much in my love for Jesus. I have grown so much. And I've experienced God's grace and his power in new ways and miraculous ways. And I've noticed that as I've surrendered, the more I surrender, the more God blesses me, the more I experience his power through me, the more I experience lives changed around me. You know, is that at the end of the year that we're able to look back and we see how God has changed us and grown us and how God has used us in such amazing ways. And we go, remember 2017? Wow, I mean, I was way here 2017. But by the end of 2018, I feel like this timid little believer I used to be, or this super comfortable believer that I used to be, has just, you know, grown into someone who is completely abandoned to God, who's grown, whose spiritual muscles have grown, and who has just fell in love with God's word and fell in love with prayer. And has been willing to push into uncomfortable things and let God grow me. Isn't that a great vision for 2018? Would you love that in your life? I mean, wouldn't you love that in your life? At the end of 2018, you just look back and you go, holy cow. I don't even recognize the person I used to be, because I just feel like God has transformed me in so many incredible ways. And that requires us to get out of our comfort zone, and our comfort zone in how much we pray, our comfort zone in how much we're in God's word, our comfort zone in our giving, our comfort zone in our serving. And so it is awesome. And so I'm going to pray, and the worship team's going to come. We had a couple of words beforehand, and one of those words was, it's so easy to stand on the sidelines. Somebody's just said, I feel like, you know, metaphorically there are people standing on the sidelines because there's fear, because there's maybe fear of how, fear of what it will cost me to follow Jesus, you know, more consistently, fear of what it's going to cost me in my time and whatever, fear in relinquishing control to God's will in my life, and just fear. And I think that God wants to challenge you today to get off the sidelines, right? I mean, hey, this is a great church, but if this is the sum total of your walk with God is an hour on Sundays, you need to get off the sidelines. You need to grow. And you need to learn to walk in greater trust in the Lord. And so I believe that God wants to challenge some people to get off the sidelines today. And then there was others that, there was another word about someone or someone's that is just almost afraid to give up their busyness. Like they're just bam, 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 bam. You know, this kind of busyness of, you know, we take the kids to this sport and we get involved with that and we do this and that. And we're just like so busy with other things that it's almost like there's just no room left in our life for God. And we're kind of afraid to give up that busyness, because that busyness makes us feel important, makes us feel wanted, makes us feel whatever. And that God is challenging you with that. And it's just saying, hey, you know what, come away from that and make some room for me in your life. Come away and make some room for the Holy Spirit in your life. And trust that whatever you give up, what God gives you instead is going to be better. God, you know what? I have never given anything up, received from God, and went, oh, God, I think I like the old thing. Never. It's never happened in my life. God knows. And so I just want to pray for you real quick. Worship team is going to, if you're worshiping, you can come now, worship team, that's fine. I'm just going to wrap it up in prayer. But listen, if you need prayer for anything this morning, we have this incredible prayer team. And Karen.